Amen. At this time, if we have any children, which doesn't look like we have, they can be excused. I remembered at this time, and there's no children to be dismissed. Well, Pastor Mark's on vacation this week, so it's an honor for me to be able to bring the word this morning. I appreciate the privilege to do so. Most of you know who I am. My name's Jack. I'm the worship leader here at Dorseyville. I recently graduated from an Alliance Bible School, a three-year school last year, Pennsylvania Bible Institute. Just trying to be obedient to the Lord. When you hear that voice and you feel that call, you just got to step forward and see where the Lord's going to lead. So that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm here, and I'm excited about what possibilities are awaiting us in the new year, and for me in ministry in the new year. This morning, being that it is New Year's Eve and we're starting a new year, I felt the Lord wanted me to just remind us all what it means to find God's will for our life. We all want to find God's will for our life. Amen. But as I studied this topic and I read articles about the state of the church, especially the American church, most people don't even have a clue what they feel God's called them to do. The church in America especially is so comfortable. The desire to follow God has just been replaced with a religious fulfillment, even in the evangelical churches. Where we should be, the evangelical church should be on fire for God, on fire for Jesus, wanting to share the good news of Jesus with all of those around. But unfortunately, even the evangelical church in America has fallen asleep, has just become another denomination. And I pray in my heart for us here at Dorseyville that fire that Jesus speaks about in Revelations, how I wish you were on fire for me rather than being lukewarm. I hope that fire is ignited here this year. God's doing mighty, great things here at the church, especially over the past year and a half since he's brought Pastor Mark and his family here. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's exciting to see what God's doing. But in our walk of faith, sometimes it's hard to see what God's doing. Most times it feels like God's not even doing anything. But I want to encourage us as a church body that God is alive and God is moving and God is fulfilling His will in His church. And He wants you to be a part of it. And He wants you to be excited about it. And so as I prepared this message, I came up with 5 points of how to find God's will in the new year. Practical ways for finding God's will. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd just like to read a brief scripture this morning to get us started in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm going to start in verse 15 for those of you that are turning there. Paul exhorts the church, therefore be careful of how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17, again, I say, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Lord God, I just pray right now for this time to share your word. I pray you, Holy Spirit, Lord God, would awaken our hearts, awaken our minds, Lord God, to receive your word, Lord God. Allow your word to transform us into the image of Christ, and help us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your word Jesus' name, amen. Finding God's will for our life might not be as hard as we think. Many people ask, how do I know what God wants me to do with my life? But the simple answer to that has already been revealed, and God's will has already been revealed to us in His Word already. Over the holidays, you know, as we visited with friends and family, I was asked a question by someone. Do you believe in karma? Because that person knew I went to Bible school and I'm a Christian. And do you believe in karma? And as karma simply defined is, if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. And I thought about that for a moment. And I said, well, I believe the truth that you reap what you sow. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, this you shall reap. So in a way, what they're asking me about karma is, I do believe if you sow bad seed, you're going to reap bad seed in your life. If you only eat potato chips all your life, your body is going to just tear down and decay, and your blood vessels are going to clog with cholesterol. But if you eat vegetables and fruit and a well-balanced diet, your body's going to be healthy. Now look at Uli. He must have ate great all of his life because he's a super healthy guy at 69 years old. So the truth about you reap what you sow, it's true. But I believe it in a biblical point of view because God says it. Because God has set truth in order. From creation, God has set up a healthy way of living. God has shown us His will for our life. It's not His will that we abuse this temple, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it's His will that we take care of it. Amen? But too often than not, we'd rather eat a Big Mac than take the time to create a good, healthy meal and eat kale and beets. I'm on that plane. I don't really care for kale or beets, but I know they're really good for you. And my wife really wants me to eat more of those. So don't be deceived. God's not mocked. He set truth in order. He set truth in place. And He wants us to follow that truth for a healthy, happy life. Amen? So the will of God in our life is really not that hard to find. God has given us His truths and His wisdom in His Word. But most importantly, in the person of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us in John that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. We can see the very Word of God, the truths of God's Word, lived out in the life of Jesus. And so, as Christians, as those of us who have received Jesus as our Savior and has received His forgiveness from shedding His blood on the cross, as we can see the truth of God's Word lived out in Jesus, let me pose this question to all of you. Is the world seeing God's truths lived out in your life? The word Christian is not another denomination or not another religious affiliation. The word Christian came about by the followers of Jesus were acting like Jesus, and they were living like Jesus, so they were projecting Jesus in their life. And the name that those that were against them came up with, they were calling them Christians, those Christians, because they were living out the Word of God in their life. Are you living out the Word of God in your life? Is the world seeing Jesus Christ in you as we see the Word of God lived out in Jesus? This is the will of God. This is the will of God. So, this should be a motivation for us truly to find the will of God in our life. We know that God wants us to be a witness to the world of His love for the world. It's not Jesus against the world. Quite the contrary. Jesus came to save the world from their sins. Amen? Jesus came to seek out that one that is lost and has gone astray. Do we have that same attitude? Or are we living a life of seclusion? Are we living a life of a Christian religion? Or are we living a life of a Christian? Of someone who is following Jesus and acting like Jesus and doing what Jesus would do? This is the will of God for our lives. So, I came up with 5 points that will help us find the will of God. And if you're taking notes, thank you, Joe. I see you taking notes. I appreciate it, Harry. Appreciate it. Number one, to know God's will, we must walk with God. To know God's will, we must walk with God. Now, when we walk with somebody, who here is a walker? I know there's lots of walkers. Becky and I, we go to the mall. I guess we're getting old. We're mall walkers. That's all right. When it's cold outside, go to the mall and walk around. Get some exercise. When you walk with someone, you're not going in different directions. When you're walking with someone, you're walking beside them, tandem with them. And as you're walking with them, you're conversing, you're talking. But most importantly, if you care about the person you're walking with, you're listening. And as you're walking, you're talking, you're listening, you're getting to know each other. This is exactly what God wants for us. As you're listening to that person, you're receiving from that person. So as we walk with God, we're receiving from Him because He desires to share with us His wisdom. He desires to share with us His truth. But the only way you're going to receive that truth and that wisdom from Him is if you're spending time with Him. You're building that relationship with Him that is not just in your prayer closet, but is an everyday occurrence. It's an everyday, every moment relationship. So walking with God is a lifelong journey rather than a Sunday morning periodical prayer closet time, but it is a lifelong, moment by moment, relationship building experience. And as we spend time in His Word, as we spend time in prayer, and as we get involved with what God is doing with God's people, we're building and we're cultivating that relationship. And as we do that, God will share with you His will for your life and what He desires for you to do with your life. Amen. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." So often than not, we want to rely on our own understanding because we think we know best, don't we? It's just the way we're wired. But God is telling us, trust in the Lord always. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust in Him, and He will make your path straight. So number one, point number one is walk with God. Point number two, surrender your will to His will. What was that? Amen. I appreciate that. Too often than not, when we say we want to know God's will, what we're really saying is, hey, God, this is what I'm planning on doing. Would you please bless it? But that's not surrender. Surrender is saying, not my will, God, but your will. Galatians 2:20 tells us, this was one of the first verses I ever memorized when I got saved 30-some years ago. It changed my life. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In the life that I live now by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. What a radical verse that is. It's a life-changing verse. Jesus died for us so that he could live in us. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. Amen? He promises to never leave us nor forsake us, but he is calling us to a committed, sanctified life with him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. He's waiting to see if you are willing to do whatever he's called you to do. He's waiting to see if you are willing to do whatever he's called you to do before he will reveal his will to you. Are you living in a life that is pleasing to him? Are you living in a way that you could stand before Christ and say, yes, Lord, I surrender all? Or are you living your life the way you want to and basically just saying, bless my life, Lord, I pray? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. Are you showing God that type of commitment to him? Romans 12:2 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the responsible service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the word of God, that you may show what the acceptable good will of God is. You're never going to know what God's will for your life is if you never read his word. It is more I think about why God gave us the Bible, it's just amazing. We need the written word, the truth of God, to stand on as a foundation that we can always go back to for God's ultimate truth. He did it for the Israelites when he gave them the Ten Commandments. He only gave them 10 commandments. And these commandments were given to them to bless them, for them to know for sure what God's will for their life was. And now we have his word to always fall back on, to study, to learn from. But most of us don't even read it. Maybe on Sunday. Most people in churches, modern churches today, don't even bring their Bible to church. Now, granted, a lot of people have them on tablets and their phones, but in my opinion, there is something about the papers, the book, the binding of the truth and the word of God. There's just something about having your own Bible. Because God speaks to us through his word. And you can put notes in your Bible when something jumps out at you. And that is yours. That's your relationship with God speaking to you. And you can have that and hold it and feel it and cherish it. I'm not saying that technology is not good for us, but there's something about the word of God. And as I was studying, you know, people are people. I've said this to my wife all the time. People are people no matter where you go. If you're looking for the perfect church, you're never going to find it if you're there. I mean that with no offense, but The hardest thing about being involved with the church or any type of group that's trying to achieve something is dealing with people. Because we all have our own opinion. We all have our own pride, you know, egos. God knows this. And I really believe that's why it's so important for us to understand Galatians 20, that we have been sacrificed. We have been crucified with Christ, just like He sacrificed and gave up His body for the forgiveness of our sins. As we follow Him, we, our pride, our egos, our selfishness, needs to be crucified as well. So we can share the love that Jesus wants to pour out into us with others. Amen? I know it hurts. That's tough preaching right there, but it's truth. So as I was studying, being in music ministry, I'm going to say music ministry is even harder than preparing a sermon. Because when you're in it for the long haul, you would not believe how much criticism you hear over the times. I hate that song. Why do you do that song? That's not a good song. You know, why don't we play more old hymns? And that's fine. I love the old hymns. Don't get me wrong. The reason I say this is I came across a story when radio was invented. You know what I'm going to say, huh? When radio was invented, whenever that was invented, anybody know the year radio was invented? Huh? K to K. K to K, okay. The traditional fundamental churches, when evangelical preachers wanted to go on the radio and share the gospel because they felt that that was what God called them to do, preach the gospel to all nations, all people, and this was a tool to get the word out, they were criticized from the fundamental traditionalists that the radio was evil and the word of God should not be presented over radio. How ridiculous. But in that moment, those people were sincere and they really believed that this radio idea is going to ruin the world. It's going to be used for nothing but evil. But how wonderful it is that radio changed everything. People could hear the gospel message in their living rooms. How wonderful. And then when TV came along, the same thing happened. And now the internet. People are saying that the internet shouldn't be used for the gospel because there's so much filth on it. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I'm just using that as a correlation that no matter what generation we're born in, people are people. We're all the same. We're all selfish. We're all self-centered. We're all egotistical. We all want it our way. We all want to criticize others. We all think we can do it better. But Jesus has called us to sacrifice, to follow Him. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to find His message is all about love. It's not about another religious denomination. God loved and so loved the world. That's God's motivation, the love for His creation. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Share it by whatever means you can. Amen? That is the perfect will of God. Thank you, Lord. Even Jesus on this earth, when God presented Him with His perfect will, asked God, "Is there any way this cup could pass from me?" It was God's perfect will that He sacrificed His Son on the cross to redeem us all from our sins. Jesus knew this. But even Jesus on earth cried out to His Father, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." But then He said, "But not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus fulfilled God's will in his life by going to the cross. We must surrender our will to God to truly know what his will is for us. That is when he will truly direct our steps. So number two, point number two, we must surrender our will to his will. Point number three, obey what you already know about God's word. Obey what you already know about God's word. So many people are wanting to know, God, what is your plan for my life? But the fact of the matter is, 98% of God's will for our life is already laid out in his word for us. God is very clear about many aspects of his will. For instance, by obeying what we already know about God's word, God does not want his people to lie, to cheat, to steal, to be sexual immoral, be not involved with sexual immorality. God revealed much of his will, like I said earlier, through the Ten Commandments. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us, "For this is the will of God." How much more simple is that? "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," or you being set apart from the world. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. How simple is that? It's written in his word. This is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. If we do not obey the things that God has shown us clearly in his word, why would we think he would reveal any deeper will to us? If we do not obey what we already know about him in his word, why do we think he would reveal something greater for us of his will? He wants to use each one of us, but it is his will to obey his word and obey his commandments. It's like exercise. It's like working out. I know part of the New Year resolutions everybody has is I'm going to work out more, or I'm going to lose 10 pounds. It's the same old story every year, and by January 12th, we kind of forget about it. But I hope you don't forget about it. But as we work out, I know, Keith, you're a runner. If you don't run for a while, if you take a few months off, it's going to be pretty hard to jump right back into a 26-mile marathon, isn't it? You got to build your endurance up. If you're a weightlifter, you have to start easy. You got to start slow and build yourself up, heavier increments. God is calling us in his word. We all want to do something great for God, but God is calling us to obey his word. And as we walk in obedience, that obedience becomes stronger, and our faith becomes stronger. And what we thought was hard, before you know it, it's a breeze. And God's taking you into a deeper walk with him and revealing deeper and deeper truths with him. But as believers, we need to follow his direction, which he's given us in his word. Amen? We're not saved by those works. We're saved by the cross, by the blood of Jesus. But a deeper walk with God comes with walking in obedience to him and his word. And as we walk in obedience, we get stronger in the ways of faith. We get stronger in the will of God. And he reveals deeper and deeper truths to us. Someone dear to me, I've known for a long time, wants to be a missionary. And over the last 20 years or so, even when she was a child, she was in a Christian meeting and she was prophesied over. She was going to be a missionary. She went to a missionary conference when she was a teenager. But all her life, she pursued missions work, but because of circumstances in her life and whatever, she had never been able to go on a missionary trip. And she's like, why doesn't God want me to be a missionary? Why doesn't God ever want me to do this? I try and it never materializes. There are a lot of things we don't understand. But I would encourage her, don't give up on that dream. To us, a year, or 2, 3 years might be a long time, but to God, 20 years isn't long. Don't be surprised if 30 years later, boom, you find yourself in the mission field. I believe God is preparing us, each one of us, in the lives that we're living. He's preparing us. We have to learn to walk in obedience. We have to learn to shed off the flesh and focus on the Spirit and grow in faith and be strengthened in the ways of God. And then, when at the perfect time and in His time, He'll reward you with your heart's desire. Psalm 37 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you read that scripture, it doesn't mean instantaneously. We don't know how long it's going to take. But when you delight yourself in the Lord, that's all we need. Delight yourself in the Lord now. Live out your faith now. If you're in a dead-end job, live out your faith in that dead-end job. That doesn't mean you're going to be there forever. But if we trust God and we trust that He's sovereign, He knows where we're at. He knows what job we have right now. Or He knows what might be going on in our family dynamic. If there's something going on in a relationship or there's a pain, there's a heartache. Love the Lord right now in the midst of it. Delight yourself in the Lord in the midst of it. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Trust Him for however long it's going to take. It might happen tomorrow. It might happen in 10 years. But God is true to His word. God is not going to give us a promise that He's not going to fulfill. But the hardest thing for us, especially in this generation, is fast food Christianity. We want it now. We want to go through the drive-thru and say, God, I need this, 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 and this. Check out, go, and it's done. But I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't work that way. You know. But you know what does work this way? I've had it happen in my life. Miraculous things have happened like that, and I wasn't even, car accidents or car accidents that were averted. Why didn't that car just hit me? I ride a motorcycle. I've had motorcycles all my life. And I still hearken back to right after I got saved. I still had that wild streak going in me, and I'd drive a little faster than I should have. And I was going down a road, curve on a road, another road coming into that road on a curve. And coming around that curve, there was a car stopped dead to turn left on that other road. I was going way too fast. I swerved to miss the car, and there's a car coming this way right there. To this day, I have no idea how I didn't hit that car. All I remember is like a split second later, I'm on the other side of that car going my merry way. I truly believe God protected me. Amen. I believe those are one of those bedrock fundamental things that happened to me in my faith walk that I cannot deny. And I know all of us have experiences like that if we're honest with ourselves. But then on the other hand, I've had heartache in my life. I've had people stab their knife in my back, deceive me, lie to me. You know, I've been ripped off. Not only financially, but, you know, emotionally, friendship-wise, I could go on. But that doesn't mean God's not with me. Because we can take strength in knowing so was Jesus. Jesus was sent to save the world from their sins. But what did the world do? Crucified Him on a cross. And God used that terrible situation for the good. To look at it in the flesh, how could God use nailing His Son to a cross for good? But we know as believers that it was that very sacrifice on the cross, that very blood that was shed, is what saves us from our sins and gives us new life and new hope in Christ. So number three is to surrender our will to God. Moving along, number four, Be aware of how God has made you. Be aware of how God has wired you. We're not all the same, thankfully. But God has made you in a certain way for a reason. You are wonderfully made, the Bible tells us. Psalm 139, 14. God has made you with a specific person in mind. Even before your parents knew you, God knew you. On a side note, Becky and I have another grandchild. He was just born last week. Our son now has two children. It's just hard to believe that the little kids that we raised now have children. Those of you who are grandparents know what I'm talking about. He was born 9 pounds, 10 ounces, and now he's up over 10 pounds in a week. The dude's huge. But it's a miracle just to see this newborn baby and just to think back over the years when those kids were, the parents were just little. God knew you in your mother's womb. And he knew what he wanted to do with you in your life. God's wanting us to surrender our will to his will. God wants us to realize that he does love us. And he made you this way for a reason. And we need to recognize, what am I good at? What do I like to do? And God can use you in those areas. I truly believe that. Pay attention to how God has wired you. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, we're all born with gifts, different types of gifts. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given everyone a special gift. And it's up to you to use it. Too many people sit on their hands saying, God can't use me, I'm worthless. I can't do what that person does. But the person who does maintenance on a building is no less than someone who is a computer genius. Someone who works in a nursing home or a construction worker is no less than an electrical engineer or a nuclear scientist. God has given us all different gifts. And it's up to us to recognize what we can do and surrender that will to him and allow him to use us. We all have purpose and we all have gifts that the Lord will use in us and through us to glorify himself and to fulfill his will. We all are treasured by the Father. And he wants to use each and every one of us to glorify him and to bring about his will. And you can be excited about what God wants to do through you. Each one of us can be excited about how God wants to use us. If we surrender our will to him and say, Lord, use me. Because it's no longer me who's living. It's you living through me. God will reveal that will to you. He promises us that. And lastly, point number 5. This is very important. We must listen to the Spirit of God. Too often when we pray, we are telling God what we want him to do. But this is not a healthy way to have a relationship with our Father. Not even God wants to be told what to do all the time. But mostly when we pray, isn't that what we're doing? We're just praying to God, telling him what we want him to do. He's okay with us bringing requests to him, just like our children bring requests to us. But we don't want to be told by our children what to do. We want to help our children out of love. And God wants to help us out of love. Build that healthy relationship with God. Listen to him. Obey his word. Surrender your will. And listen to the leading of his Holy Spirit. In Acts 16, when you have time, take time to read that story. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. I found it really interesting. I remember reading this years ago and never really never really, you know, it stuck with me. But as I was preparing this message, even the apostles were prevented from doing something that they thought God wanted them to do. They were prevented. They were on a missionary journey, Paul's missionary journey, and God actually, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, prevented them from preaching the word of God, the word of salvation, to the territories in Asia. Why would God do that? It's almost, I don't really, God has a bigger plan, obviously, and probably God knew there might have been trouble for them if they would have went to that area. But even the apostles were prevented from preaching the word in Asia, as we read in Acts. And so I would encourage you to keep pursuing your dream. Keep pursuing what you think God is leading you to do. Even if the door has closed in the past, keep pursuing it. Because even though that door may have been closed for a time, if you feel God has led you to do something, He's going to fulfill His promise to you in His perfect time. So my fifth point is to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged if that door is shut for a moment. Don't give up hope, but continue to pursue God's will in your life. Colossians 4:3 tells us, pray for us that God would open the door for us to preach the word of the Messiah. Paul was even crying out to the churches, we don't know why God doesn't want us to go to this area, but pray for us that He would open that door for us to preach. In Luke 19, we're encouraged to occupy until He comes. We're encouraged to walk in righteousness. We're encouraged to walk in a way that glorifies God. We're encouraged to obey the word of God. Live in a way that glorifies Jesus and shows the world that Jesus is alive in you. There's a song on the radio, "While I'm Waiting, I'm Not Waiting." Think about that. While I'm waiting, I'm not waiting. I'm pursuing what I think God's pursuing me to do. I feel called into the ministry, personally, but I don't know what that means. I'm excited about serving here at Dorseyville as the worship leader and given the opportunity to preach. But I feel in my heart that God has something bigger for me, but I don't know what that is. So I am going to be faithful here at the moment, every Sunday, every day of the week, until God reveals the next step. And I encourage you all to do that. Walk in a manner that glorifies Jesus today, then tomorrow, then the next day, while pursuing God's perfect will for your life. Pursue a relationship with Him. Desire to know His will. Surrender your will to Him. And most importantly, be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I hope that these 5 points help you understand finding God's will for the new year. I believe God has great things for each one of us. I believe God has great things for this church as a whole. But God is on the move. God is alive and moving forward. God has not given up on any one of us. And God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. So make a commitment today to surrender your will, walk faithfully in the moment, today, tomorrow, the next day, trusting that He will reveal His will to you. Amen? Amen. Henry Ford was quoted as saying, "Those who walk with God will meet their destination." Those who walk with God will meet their destination. God has a line for us, has a path for us. Just hold on to God, walk with God, and He will see you through that destination. And we sang a song during the worship set, "All Creatures of Our God and King." That was The lyrics were written by St. Francis of Assisi. And I read a little story about him. Someone asked him, St. Francis, while he was hoeing his garden, if you knew if you were going to die by sunset, what would you do? And he looked at the person. I'd probably finish hoeing my garden. The point is, continue doing what you're doing and glorify the Lord in it. Wherever you find yourself today, be faithful to the Lord in it. And He will reveal His perfect will to you if we're faithful and we're surrendered to Him. Amen. Lord God, I just pray right now, Lord God. I thank You for this time to share Your word, Lord God. And I pray that Your will would be revealed to each one of us, Lord God. But I pray that each one of us would surrender our own wills to You even now and make the commitment to obey Your word today. What we know of Your word, we obey Your truths today, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, knowing that You have a perfect plan for our life. And I just pray that You would encourage each one of us today to remain faithful to You today and throughout the new year. And I pray that we would remain thankful in the salvation that You have provided for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the worship band wants to come and join me for the last song, let's stand and sing the song, Thank You, as we focus our attention on the fact that God loves us and does have a plan for our life. Amen.